We're talking with Curtis Greco from the Imperfect Messenger Foundation and all kinds of things in the news to talk about. Curtis, let's talk about the summoning of all the generals and admirals to Arlington, Virginia, I think it was, summoned there by the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and of course, at the behest of President Trump. And Hegseth did the most impactful speaking as he basically read the riot act to the generals and admirals and said, all this stuff we've been doing, we're not doing it anymore, to paraphrase. No more fatties, no more dudes in dresses, no more climate change crap, no identity months, none of that. What did you think of that whole presentation?
Well, it's a powerful, particularly in the sense where you have all of these elite, so-called top-tier folks coming to face some truths that need to be faced. You know, to see the so-called elite commanders of the U.S. military forces summoned, I think is long overdue, particularly because I think you look at the military, particularly since Clinton, where some of these the anointing of these gender politics began to be imposed on restructuring the military. Trump has really come clear with he's fighting on the world stage a battle that is only aided by being able to promote the U.S. military as a fierce fighting force.
Yeah, and of course, it has lost some of its luster in that way. And really, its objectives have been sort of bastardized. I think that was one of the other things that Hegseth made clear. We're not here to do any engineering of society or anything like that. We're here to be the bullies on the block when we need to be the bullies. But more importantly, people have to believe we can bully them. So we need to get our act together.
Well, absolutely. It needs to be seen not only just that are you fighting the enemy within the U.S. military from a political apparatus, not as a fighting force, but as a political apparatus. And I think the greatest feature of this talking to is going to be the ability of Hegseth and Trump to begin to identify where are the weak spots, where's the political adversaries within the U.S. military that they're going to have to deal with. Because presently, just from my own contacts within the Pentagon, folks that I've dealt with and worked with over the years, one of the problems that Hegseth is having is that none of them, the greatest opposition for Hegseth is in that area of the assigned military, these DEI operatives who don't look at Hegseth as a legitimate leader of the Pentagon. They don't see his military experience as being that visceral. They see him more as a Neanderthal than as a political or than as a leader of a force. This is a huge problem for President Trump. But more importantly, I think it needs to be made clear that not all former Secretary of Defense have had military experience. Now, of course, Hegseth does have pretty dramatic experience, but I think that the key point to take away from that presentation is that Trump is fighting a battle within his own administration, particularly as to the question of legitimacy of Hegseth as a leader, number one. Number two, that the political adversaries that have been baked in to this deep state mantra are still heavily populated within the Pentagon, and they need to be excised. They need to be identified, and then so that they can excise them.
No doubt. Curtis Greco at the Imperfect Messenger Foundation is with us. Moving off of that subject, but to one that is much related, I think, this week, Trump came out with a peace plan for the Middle East that basically involved all the nations in that area of the world, plus Europe, signing on to this deal where there will be a slow withdrawal of the Israelis, and the Hamas will sign on to this. And then if they don't, we're going to let Israel do what they want to do, was the basic gist of it. Curtis, give me your analysis of that plan.
In classic Trump form, I think he is going to go down in history as a remarkable talent in navigating a way around and past the articles and obstacles that have plagued international politics for the last century, at least. The British issue that goes back all the way to the Balfour Agreement, and I think it was 1917 when it was originally signed, has planted the British in the British hierarchy, which became more dominant with the advent of MI6 and their intelligence environment, where the British basically created a permanent legacy of failure. And the reason why was because as long as there's conflict, as long as there is demand for participation outside of the immediate conflict, there's always a need for somebody, a military influence, someone who has an economic interest in the area. In the case with the case with Trump, what's brilliant about his approach is he went out and he created the solution before ever presenting it to the Israelis, before ever presenting it to Hamas. And if you recall his trip into the Middle East, where he met with the royal family of Saudi Arabia, he met with the Yemenis, he met with Qatar, he met with the Jordanian king of Jordan. And the purpose of all of those meetings was to shore up an assurance with Trump and these leaders that they were going to work together to solve the problem with the issue regarding Palestinians, with the issue regarding Gaza and the Israelis, and how to create a permanent solution. So while everyone's sitting out wondering whether or not there is going to be success in the Middle East, they're looking for some sort of panic from the Trump administration, because things don't seem to be going the way he wants. But Trump is very patient. He's very methodical. And I think that's the brilliant approach, and why I think that if any administration over the last 60 years, all the way back to the Johnson administration and the 67-year war in 1967 war, I think this has got to be the most significant move of any administration or any move by any political means to create a permanent solution. And I think Trump is going to go down as probably the master of providing the solution that I believe they're going to execute.
Curtis, final thing to talk about, of course, another shutdown. The president has said we may just take advantage of the shutdown to basically gut some more government agencies and get rid of some overpaid, useless government employees, sort of a Doge 2.0. Do you think that can happen? And who do you think comes out the PR winner when this shutdown is all said and done?
Well, as long as the Trump administration maintains the capacity of the government to continue to serve those who depend on the government, whether it's military pay, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of these things continue on. They're already baked into the monetary demands of the federal government. So when they talk about shutdown, it's more politically severe for the loser than it is for the American public. And it's always been that way. So to answer your question, the ones that are going to get nailed on this, it's going to be the Democrats. And ultimately, probably by the end of the week, you're going to see they only need three more votes, right? They only need three more Democrats to jump ship under the Schumer Schumer ship and for them to sign off on this and have it down the road. Ultimately, I think what this is going to show is there's a severe problem with this budgeting system that has been going on for the last 30 years, where they cannot seem to get from one year to the next without some sort of complicit behavior that requires some sort of excess. It's got to end. And I think that Bessette and Trump, ultimately, that's going to become more and more apparent over the next few months. And that is the solution. The Federal Reserve is going to have to be dealt with. Because one of the largest problems that is behind all of this, I mean, there's political chicanery going on with George Soros and those types of pagan political groups who are forcing this sort of nonsense about paying for health care for illegals and all this sort of belligerence. And that too will eventually come to a solution as they become more suspected by the political apparatus that's going to chase them down. But more importantly is that at some point, the Democrat Party is going to have to find a way to reconstitute itself, because if they don't, the likelihood of them coming back with a political force to take back the House or even the presidency is going to be decades in the offing if they don't start acting like adults.
That's Curtis Greco with the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Always things to talk about, Curtis. We appreciate you taking time.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.